This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hi, this is Jane Garvey, and this Woman's Hour parenting podcast is all about rock pools. Okay, it's not traditionally specifically parenting, but on the other hand, you could be fortunate enough to be by the sea, and it's the British summer, so it might be raining, and what could be better than a trip down the rock pools? Here we go.
Heather Butterfant, author of Rockpool, Extraordinary Encounters Between the Tides, a lifelong fascination told in 24 creatures. John, every single page of this book, there's a nugget that somebody will enjoy. And yes, we will talk about that fact about barnacles that I know you're desperate to bring to the nation. But we'll start with, there are great rock pools, presumably all over Britain, but there must be parts of the British coastline that are the best for rock pools.
Of course, I am massively biased. I grew up in Cornwall and I still live in Cornwall. So, of course, I'm going to say Cornwall because we have, obviously, rocky shores all around the edge of Cornwall. Devon as well. A lot of Wales is rocky. Scotland's amazing. So many places. Yorkshire. All those sort of rocky coasts, of course. Places you have rocks are great for rock pools. Really, any rock pool, you never know what you might find. You can go to the most unpromising looking place, you might find something. Of course, the around the southeast, particularly sort of the east coast, where you have very long, sandy or muddy beaches, obviously they're not so great for rock pools, but they're still brilliant for beachcombing. And if you go paddling in the sea, you can see all sorts of things there as well. So anywhere with sea.
Let's start with the limpet, which is something that we're all aware of. But what is it? Because they're much more interesting than we might have been led to believe.
Of course. I think we just assume limpets don't do anything. They're almost part of the rock. They look like they are. So these cone-shaped shells, and they live attached to the rock. What we see is them when they're resting. They're out of the water, the tide's gone out, and we see them on the rock. So obviously they're not going anywhere at that point because, like any sea creature, they don't want to dry out. The sun and the wind are their worst enemy, and they're very exposed to it up on those rocks. But as soon as the tide comes in, the little limpet takes on a whole new life, of course. It needs to go off and feed and see its friends. So it sets off across the rock, and it munches on the little tiny algae, the seaweeds that live on the rocks, and it basically scours the whole rock clean. And the amazing thing about the limpet is that it doesn't just have little teeth to do this. It has something called a radula, which is like a tongue but with a saw edge. And it has that fringed with a material called goffite, which is the strongest biological material known to man.
Oh.
And as it scours off the seaweed, it actually chips off bits of rock. So if you go down to the beach when the tide has maybe just gone out and the limpets are heading home after they're feeding, put your ear close to the rock where the limpets are, and you can sometimes hear them munching on the seaweed, because what you can hear is actually the rock being chipped off, and they gouge out a little trail along the rock, a zigzag trail that you can see if you have slate or a soft rock. You can see this trail where the limpet's been. So they are quite incredible.
That is just remarkable. And I'm sorry to introduce the subject of cannibalism, but crabs, they're not immune to a bit of that.
Yeah, especially our most common crab. So the shore crab, if you've ever been crabbing or looking in the rock pools, the crab that you're most likely to have found is this little crab that when it's grown up, it's got a green colour, but when they're babies, they come in every possible colour. And the green shore crab is a master of survival. It's a fabulous one. You know, if you could take the kids down to the shore to understand how these creatures live, because they can survive right near the top of the shore where they've got pools that warm up in the sun and get frozen in the winter. They can survive if the water's very salty, where it's evaporated out. They can survive if there's a river coming through it. They can live up in estuaries. They're amazing things. And being good at survival, anyone who's ever read a Bear Grylls book, you know, it's full of how to eat everything that you can get your hands on. And that's what the crabs do. Prawns are similar as well. They can eat just anything.
Well, including each other.
Including each other.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Including each other, particularly the young crabs. So that's why we always say, if you do go to the beach and you're catching crabs, only have ideally just one at a time in your bucket with plenty of water so that it's comfortable, because as soon as you've got more than one in there, they will start to fight and they may actually eat each other.
Okay, I meant they're not averse to a bit of cannibalism. I've just realised I said something else, so I just corrected myself before we get emails. Where else should we go? Starfish are just, when you see a starfish on a beach, I think it's just one of life's, they are miraculous little things, aren't they? What are they all about?
Starfish are, I think they're normally top of the list. If I take groups, whether it's adults or children, out on the beach, starfish are top of the list of things that people would love to see. And people often haven't ever seen a real one in real life, because you do need to go a bit further down the shore and look more carefully to find them. But we have lots of species of starfish in our rock pools around the UK. And they are amazing creatures, of course, and they're very beautiful, and we love starfish because they're beautiful. What children really like about starfish isn't so much their beauty, but their weird ways of living. So starfish quite easily lose an arm if they get in a fight or they have an encounter with a predator. They quite often will lose an arm, or two arms, or three arms, even four or five arms.
Right. And
that's not a big problem to a starfish. If they've lost a couple of arms, they simply grow them back again, which is quite special. In fact, the crabs can do it as well. They can very slowly grow limbs back. The remarkable thing about starfish as well is if that arm that's been severed has a bit of the central disc left on it, it may regrow into a whole new starfish.
I could listen to this stuff all day, but now comes possibly the epitome of what's passed for my career. Tell me about a barnacle's penis, Heather.
Everybody wants to know this.
Trust me, they want to know behind the glass.
So
they're gawping at. Go on.
Just take it back to the beginning. Barnacles are little creatures, little shelled creatures that live on the rocks. They often completely cover the rocks. If you've been walking on the rocks at low tide, you'll often find they're sharp and they hurt your feet, or if you fall, they scratch your hands. So those little creatures, and like the limpet, they don't seem to do very much because they're just stuck there, aren't they? We only really discovered that barnacles were crustaceans and related to crabs and prawns and things when people started looking down microscopes. Because when they're tiny babies, the barnacles swim around in the plankton. Okay, so they've got little legs and they swim all over the place. It's only when they're ready to become adults that they settle down. And the little barnacle swims down head first onto the rock and cements its head, the back of its neck, onto the rock with its legs in the air. And then it grows the shell that we're used to around itself for protection. And it's got a little door at the top and it just opens that, pops its legs out to feed when the tide comes in and grabs little bits of plankton going past. All good up to there. And obviously you can have hundreds and hundreds of barnacles.
You've only got about 30 seconds.
Yeah. So the barnacle needs to fertilise other barnacles in the area, but it can't move, it can't go anywhere. So it has to have an enormously long appendage, which it uses.
You can say penis, it's woman's hour. Go on.
It fishes into other barnacles. Like a lucky dip, really.
Like a lucky dip, yes. The key fact is, if a barnacle were human, and it isn't, if it were a 6-foot-tall man, and it's not, its penis would be about 48 foot long, correct?
That's right. It depends on the individual barnacles. They're not all equal.
No. Okay.
They actually have very often an extendable penis, which is like a telescopic penis that comes out.
We're not
when
here.
They've finished and it takes a lot of energy. So once they've finished with that and they've done fertilising all the barnacles, they will drop their penis. They no longer need it.
Right.
And they actually will have been fertilised by their fellow barnacles around them. They're male and female at the same time. So then they brood their own eggs and they go off into the plankton.
Heather, that was brilliant. Thank you very much indeed.
What is wellness?
I think of the image of wellness as like pure joy.
The important thing is for people to choose, like, what do you want to do?
Wellness are the things your grandmother told you to do.
When you really start to think about it, the answer feels more complicated. I'm Maya Feller, registered dietitian nutritionist and author.
And I'm Dr. Kavita Patel. We're the hosts of Well Now, Slate's new podcast on wellness.
Join us every Wednesday as we tackle that simple yet important question, what does it mean to be well?